people are looking for brands that help either reinforce who they believe in themselves to be, or looking to help them become something else. And so when you can go out there and buy from a brand that helps support the lifestyle that you want to live, that are made by people that are similar to you, that you can connect with, I think that that's a really amazing opportunity for brands.
Welcome to ProCo 360. This is a show about entrepreneurs who could be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. As a listener, you know that sometimes more can be accomplished mountain biking with a client or collaborating over craft beer, and all with a view that makes us proud to be in Colorado. Past shows, my book list, and newsletter subscriber sign up are available at proco360.com. Subscribe to the ProCo 360 podcast via your app. In this episode, I'll be speaking with Blake Adams, founder of Denver Flea, Colorado's largest and most unique retail experience where people can discover Colorado brands and goods in a lively environment. And while Denver Flea is a super fun place for those who want to shop, perhaps as important, it's a great launchpad for Colorado entrepreneurs. Brands like Icelandic Skis, outdoor clothing company Vormi, and many others have used Denver Flea to prove their concept and connect with customers. In fact, Andy Fleckenstein of Mountain Standard is here joining us today too. Thanks, Blake, for bringing Andy. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Yeah, Dave, thank you very much for having me back on the show.
I'm glad you're here. Thank you. And wanted to thank, before we dive in, our great show sponsors, Community Banks of Colorado. They go big for small business. They've been committed to this show since it started, demonstrating their love for entrepreneurs. And MicroStar Keg Logistics. These guys are entrepreneurs for beer entrepreneurs. MicroStar is a Colorado company that helps craft brewers expand via keg distribution. Okay, Blake, joined by Andy. You guys ready?
Definitely.
Ready.
All right, here we go. So starting first, though, I'm going to turn to Blake and tell us about Denver Flea and actually how you even came up with the concept.
Yeah, Denver Flea just celebrated its fourth year anniversary. We started Memorial Day of 2014, and it's really been amazing to see what's happened over the last 4 years. The goal was to create a retail experience that was taking a spin on the classic flea market model, but really showcasing things that are being done in Colorado by real people. And I think that we started off with 35 brands that joined us at the first flea. You know, now we're having to unfortunately turn people away, maxing out at 200.
Wow.
So we've seen tremendous growth, and we just know that that shoppers, consumers in Colorado are interested about the stories behind their brands.
You know, and we're going to talk about brands quite a bit. And before we do, I want to, you mentioned sort of a spin off the old flea market thing, and flea markets are known, you know, sort of for junk, right? This is a whole different thing. You actually have a mission around which you've grounded Denver Flea. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, we work really hard to curate the brands that are there, and find that given the right platform, there's plenty of brands in Colorado doing incredible things. And so we've been really lucky to kind of be at the right place, the right time in Denver to kind of harness and create an event around this momentum of entrepreneurialism, of following passion, and really creating some great consumer products.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess that's what I wanted to get at for the listeners that may not have been to a Denver Flea yet. And by the way, I appreciate a new partnership that Blake and I have started, Denver Flea and ProCo 360, because when you subscribe to the newsletter via the website, ProCo 360, Blake's going to give you a ticket to the next Denver Flea. So that's going to help our listeners really understand what this is about. And the idea, though, is paint a little bit more of a picture. If somebody, and I did, went to your Christmas flea and they walked into this big building full of vendors, these are brands that are brands themselves. They're not selling somebody else's stuff typically, right?
Right. And I always like to use the word brands versus vendors. I think vendors connote something that's different than what we're going for. These really are people that have not just created a product that they're selling, but they have an entire brand around that. It's mm-hmm. it's the ability for consumers to buy a product, but then invest in supporting local brands and entrepreneurialism.
So let's use some very specific examples. I've got one sitting across from me too, but maybe you can pick two or three examples, and Andy can speak to his experience, of significant brands that started out as little booths, maybe, you know, creating their own business via this platform of Denver Flea.
Yeah, I think one of the neatest things for me as running Denver Flea is getting to hear all the stories of people that maybe their first Denver Flea, they were in their basement and then have graduated.
Yeah, so specifically, what are some names we've heard of?
Out of Golden is a soap and body care company called Spinster Sisters. And they were at one of the first, or actually the first Flea. And Spinster Sisters, we've been able to see go from one retail store in Golden and with their production facility in the back to their own warehouse production facility now, where they're creating incredible volumes of product. They're expanding. They've got a retail store in Boulder, one in Denver. So while I would never claim that Denver Flea is solely responsible for that, it really is a neat opportunity for these brands to test their products in real time directly to consumers.
Andy, talk about your experiences as a business that started at the door, has had significant activity around the Denver Flea, and Andy, of course, with Mountain Standard. Talk about that.
Sure. Well, I can't claim that we started out of a basement or garage. We did start as a very small brand that was predominantly looking for opportunities to go direct to consumer. And when we turned to Denver Flea about 4 years ago, we've been with these guys almost since the beginning. We were really looking for an opportunity to have these meaningful, in-depth conversations about our brand and our story and our product with people who were attending this this very localized event.
Yeah, I mean, does that happen when you're at the booth? Your customers come up, they're asking about. Explain real quickly about your product line, about what Mountain Standard is doing.
Sure, we're a young company again that's based out of Boulder. What we're doing is we're building outdoor technical products that can be used as much in the city or the Front Range as they can for adventures in the mountains. So we're using the best passable fabrics you can get your hands on. We're building down jackets and rain shells that look great downtown, but can perform if you're in the backcountry as well.
Great. And so you've got your own website. You're selling these products at places like Denver Flea, right? So give me an example of sort of like the kind of conversation you have with a customer at Denver Flea and what that does within your own business.
Sure. So, I mean, we've got any number of conversations that we're having with customers as they're coming to and from our booth. A lot of people still have not heard of our brand. We've done a ton of great work over the past 5 years to really kind of elevate ourselves and tell our story as far wide as possible. But regardless, there's always going to be somebody who's brand new. So we get to tell kind of our origin story in that capacity, which is really, really nice because we're educating these people.
Does that drive sales?
It definitely does, because people in Colorado especially love homegrown brands. They love to support Colorado. They love small businesses. And instead of rocking a bigger, more expensive product, they love to be able to turn around and say, yeah, this is a product that I shopped that came from my backyard and I love to wear I'm exploring Colorado.
Do you think they actually romance your brand by saying, yeah, I was talking with Andy. I was talking with, you know, the people who own the company, and this is, you know, it was just awesome. I feel good about having this product.
I've heard numerous examples from our ambassadors, from good friends who have played a part in building our brand, about talking to complete strangers who see them wearing a garment and you know, have had a conversation with some of our staff. And they say, you know, I had a really enjoyable experience, whether it's at Denver Flea or elsewhere, but I got to communicate with the people behind this brand and meet the team. Like, I have seen their faces.
Do they become evangelists essentially for
Definitely.
Your product line?
That's been one of the biggest tools in spreading the word about our brand is building this evangelism where people—
That's really cool.
Yeah, people get emotionally attached.
Yeah, and so turning back then to Blake, when you think about that, you said you're full now at your next Flea with 200 brands, right, and you're turning some away. Are you trying to curate the brands that come so that they're the kinds of brands that do create evangelism, that do create a synergy, and that do propel your business?
I think that to answer your question, yes. And to grow a brand in today's climate, you have to have so much more than just a product. You know, the farm to table movement kicked off the product traceability that everyone wants. And so now when you go back and, you know, to the to the highest level of going onto a website and clicking the about us. You want to read about a company. Mm-hmm. And if you can't read about a company, you wonder what's going on with mm-hmm. this company. So when you have the ability to talk to brand ambassadors or the people that are behind the brand in any fashion, and they're able to translate the passion and the intention that is the brand, then people have bought into that whole story, not just the product.
Yeah. And that seems like that's as prevalent or as pronounced in Colorado as it is anywhere, is my observation.
Exactly. I think that probably the brewery craze that's in full swing now really kicked off that proud to support local. And now we've got everything from food to outdoor wear.
Yeah. And we'll continue to talk about that. First, I want to remind listeners that this is ProCo 360. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and I'm speaking with Blake Adams, founder of Denver Flea, the Colorado's largest and most unique retail experience. Also joined by Andy from Mountain Standard, one of the great brands that's being developed on that Denver Flea platform, as well as other ways. You can find out where the next flea will be at denverflea.com. So, you know, one of the things is we talk about brands. I'm going to go off script a little bit here because this whole notion of why that brands develop, I'm going to ask both of you this. You're both running brands. In the case of Denver Flea, of course, it's a brand that helps other brands, but still your own, right? And this notion of all these companies now are leading first with like, whatever you buy, we're going to give the same amount to somebody else. Well, you know, to me, these have grown to superficial kinds of, at least my take. And I think a brand has to be more about, to me, about the consumer than about the brand itself, what they think they, but maybe I don't know. Do you guys agree, disagree?
Well, no, I agree with you. I think that 50% of this is the consumer, right? And people are looking for brands that help either reinforce who they believe in themselves to be, or looking to help them become something else. And so with Andy and Mountain Standard here, when people are moving to the state of Colorado, they want to get into the lifestyle here and they want to immerse themselves in everything that Colorado has. Well, part of that is needing the right gear. And so when you can go out there and buy from a brand that helps support the lifestyle that you want to live, that are made by people that are similar to you, that you can connect with, I think that's a really amazing opportunity mm-hmm. for brands.
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit beforehand, and I'm interested in talking and exploring a little bit more about the Denver Flea brand as well. I mean, what is your business model?
I am so inspired by all the creative people out here making and developing their own brands. And my model is an effort to do all that we can to support them. So, you know, Denver Flea as it exists today is an event where we attract 15 to 20,000 attendees. We host around 200 vendors and bring music and food and drink in a setting that keeps people kind of at ease.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you may go to
it's a fun environment.
It's a fun environment.
For sure.
You go to a standard trade show and there's a barrier to talking because it's all about sales. With a more comfortable setting, mm-hmm. people I think are more open.
How many of these do you do a year?
We do four a year seasonally.
One of the things I noticed on your website, which is interesting. So financially, though, what's your model? You charge everybody to be there.
Yep. Yeah, it's a simple model. We charge vendors to be there. We have sponsorship that helps underwrite the production mm-hmm. of it. So we work with great local companies like First Bank and Great Divide Brewery. And then we have we charge admission.
Right.
And then we have a pretty intricate bar program serving local cocktails and beers.
You know, it's interesting, too. Oh. Are you going to add something, Andy?
Oh, the bar program.
The bar
fantastic.
Program, yeah. So, you know, it's funny because I've been to two, I think, Denver Fleas, and I first thought to myself, why would I pay to go buy something?
Yeah.
And, you know, it really is and it's cheap. I don't think it's $5. You know, and it's really cheap to go, and it's like going to a festival.
Yeah.
And I find it highly entertaining, really fun, sort of energizing. And so, to me, the $5 is a cheap ticket to some fun, whether I buy things or not, I always do. But one of the things I noticed, you and I talked about this, and I hope it's okay to get into it, but this model that you have, I'm like, couldn't you do more financially because you charge one price to get in for a brand to be there, and you don't make anything. If they sell $10,000 or $20,000 or $50,000, you make the same fee,
yeah.
right? And we're talking about like, is there some other way to do it?
I think there is. You know, we've spent the last 4 years building the trust of these brands. Mm-hmm. And I think with that trust, we can begin to explore other ways of working with them to help deliver more insightful information. If we say we're all sharing sales data, there could be great insights that could be garnered from that. I think that might be a phase two.
And there could be a more creative financial model for you where everyone wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it sounds like that's your next step. And one of the things I wonder too is that if you look at the website, at the Denver Flea website, you continue to feature all of your past guests with links directly to their website. And I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty good for them. And at some point they've got to say, yeah, what else can we do for Denver Flea to help you grow? I mean, do you think about that, Andy?
Well, definitely. One of the reasons that we continue to come back to Denver Flea at each of these seasonal events is because, first of all, they're incredibly structured. They've been consistent in the structure of getting vendors involved. They're reliable in recruiting local talent and passionate brands. Mm-hmm. And so we know that every time we're getting ourselves involved in this event, we're going to be in the company of incredible talent, really. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, one of the biggest things that keeps us coming back is we know what we're getting ourselves into. We know that they're capable of drawing an incredible crowd, people who are looking to explore and learn about new local brands. And consistently, it creates an incredible sales event.
Well, you're a marketing guy. Blake, you're dependent on marketing. We were talking the other day with your marketing person, Devin, and this whole notion of, and I want to talk about this notion of marketing in a extremely busy environment, extremely busy city. You're nodding. I mean, you're competing against festivals almost every weekend. What's your take on that?
The good and bad thing about so many people moving to Denver is, I guess the good thing is there's so many more people here than there used to be. But the bad thing is that there's now so much more noise across the board. And so I would imagine that the brands that work with us at Denver Flea feel the same, from just more products out there, more noise in social media world and email world, from a marketing standpoint. So we have stuck true to what we want to do, which is create a festival environment around exploration and discovery of new brands. And so we see a lot of shiny things out there that we could chase and various bolt-ons that we could, try to bring to cheaply draw traffic. But we have,
like, what have you thought about? You thought, no, this is no.
No, well, we've tried partnerships with larger events to see if we could piggyback off of their marketing draw, but we felt our brand was overall diluted by the inconsistency of production and the experience that people have. So whether you're a returning Flea shopper or new, if you're returning, you know what to expect.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're new, we're trying to create quality content that shares the message of what we're doing and gets people to come see it.
Do you collaborate? I would think you do. Maybe a silly question with all of your brands. I mean, is there this mushroom cloud of collaboration that goes on before every event? I maybe should ask Andy. Are you promoting, we're going to be at the Flea, we're going to be at the Flea?
Oh, always, definitely.
Yeah.
We do our best to promote any local event that we're going to be participating in. We're always sent, valuable social resources that we can share with our crowd. And we make a big deal of us showing up at the Flea because it's, again, an incredibly valuable experience for us.
Yeah. So you've got 20,000 at the Flea, 20,000, for example, followers on Facebook. I'm sure you have Instagram and many, many others. If you think about how you aggregate all of the social media followers from all of your brands, any guess on the numbers of people you're reaching to talk about this every time?
Oh, gosh. I mean, from our email, social, and all of our audience combined, I mean, we have probably 100,000 contacts out there. And so obviously repeats on different platforms, but we build this very much as a community, and we want to do all we can to support the brands. But we feel that if Andy and Mountain Standard are going to bring 10 or 15 people to Denver Flea that are very familiar with their brand, they may not be familiar with, say, Zeal sunglasses, which is another brand that works with us. And so if we can all bring our friends, then all our friends learn about the next brand, and that just sort of reinforces that kind of tight-knit community of local brands.
Yeah. Hey, listeners, this is ProCo 360. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and I'm speaking with Blake Adams of Denver Flea, Colorado's largest and most unique retail experience where people can discover Colorado brands like Mountain Standard. And my other guest here is Andy Fleckenstein from Mountain Standard. And so please visit proco360.com to subscribe to my newsletter, read my blog, and see books I'm listening to on Audible. Again, that's proco360.com. I hope you're enjoying this episode with Blake and Andy. Please share it with friends. And I want to talk more about sort of this notion of, I mean, Colorado is really kind of a high-tech hub now for the region. A lot of the people who I see at Denver Flea look like they're probably working at high-tech companies and all that. And it seems like all the high-tech city people gravitate to sort of the groundedness of sort of this down-to-earth business model like a Mountain Standard or others. And so what's your take on, you know, being a resource that's different from what they deal with every day at work, you know, a different feel?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Dave, that with our continued use and sort of ubiquity of technology out there, that's great for some things, productivity and staying in contact with family members and friends, but it's also detaching ourselves from real world experiences and real world connections. And so I think that, yes, we use social media, email, and digital tools as much as anyone to market what we're doing and draw crowds here. But when you're at Denver Flea, it is almost a opportunity to be present and connect mm-hmm. with people and in a real world, real time environment, which I think, you know, especially in the face of what we're seeing right now with you know, the uptick in mental illness and disconnection from our communities. I take a lot of pride and pleasure in seeing people coming together and making real connections that maybe one time we took for granted.
Yeah. I mean, I also noticed there are a lot of electronic products. I mean, these are made of leather and wax or stones and, you know, but the kinds of things that I enjoy. Look, you were going to add some thoughts, Andy.
Well, I was just going to say we're kind of looking at that on the same playing field. I mean, you got to imagine that a lot of the growth that's happening within the Front Range right now, you'd like to think, is a result of the opportunity that's in the mountains to our west. And, you know, the tech yeah. follows the talent that moves to this new location. And we just happen to be fortunate enough to be in this space as this place is growing. So what we really want to do is encourage people to go out and explore and get out of their comfort mm-hmm. zone in their cities. Put the phone in the backpack, turn it on airplane mode, and go and actually interact with people in this natural setting instead of locking yourselves into your cubicle and onto your computer all day.
Yeah, and I think certainly that resonates as I've been to your website at Mountain Standard and within your product line. I think it's common, I think a common feel among many of the brands at Denver Flea. One of the curiosities, where's the next Denver Flea?
The next Denver Flea is at the Denver Rock Drill.
Right, so how do you find these places? Are these are big venues. How do you find them and how do you approach somebody who owns them and says, hey, we want to do this?
Yeah, that's actually becoming increasingly difficult.
Really?
With the development going on in this city and then the amount of marijuana that's in warehouses around the city. You know, one of the neat things about Denver Flea is the placemaking aspect of it. I mean, bringing people together in an area that maybe they've never been before. So we're constantly on the prowl for where's there a big enough site? We need a huge site. Where's a neighborhood that maybe people are going to be excited to explore? You know, we were all over Rhino 4 years ago, and people figured that out now. No more shutting down streets in Rhino anymore. But so Denver Rock Drill is on the outskirts of Rhino. It was mm-hmm. a huge facility that manufactured drills for mining.
It's all getting redeveloped now, but I mean, you have to deal with parking. You have to deal with and you have to pay for all this, right?
Yeah.
You have to deal with traffic flow. How many porta potties do you bring in?
We bring in probably 20 porta potties.
What does that cost? I'm just curious.
We spend about $6,000 on porta potties weekend.
I mean, you gotta just these logistical things, and I would think you have to hire off-duty policemen.
Off-duty EMTs, security, people to take out trash. When people pay $5 and they say, what are you paying for?
Yeah.
I mean, we build a city and for a couple of days and then tear it down.
How long does it take to get set up for one of these things?
We take a better part of 3 days, 4 days just to get ready for a two-day festival, and then we're out totally cleaned up in a day.
Wow. And so you have to hire people to do that.
Oh, right? We have a fleet. We have a very lean team that does most of the work, and then we staff up tremendously for these weekends.
So when you go to, how do you initiate a conversation? You find out who owns a spot, you call them and say, you know, we're thinking about this. And do you have to pay them, or do they just, are they happy to have the visibility?
We do pay. I mean, I would love to get to the point where people were paying us to come, because I would venture to say that a whole lot more people know where Rock Drill is after Denver Flea was
right,
there.
Exactly. Right. I'd never heard of it.
Yeah. So now, you know, we get a very fair rent because people are starting to understand what it means. We've had landlords that had vacant warehouses in Rhino that said, we never had to spend a dollar on marketing because of all the people you brought through.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, that's great.
Can I
participate?
Yeah, exactly. Right. They're like, thank you very much.
Yeah. Where's my marketing fee?
You've been doing this now for 4 years. What have you learned about the business since you started? What have you changed since you started?
Yeah, I think one of the most, and it's great, we're here at DU's campus right now, recording this podcast. I went to grad school here, and I took a lot of lessons from grad school into Denver Flea of, you know, the more people that you can get feedback from and thoughts and input on, the more valuable the outcome can be. And so we have surveyed vendors and customers and our own team on how we can continue to make this better. So what we started off with 4 years ago was nothing what we've got.
How about an example of something you can think of that you specifically changed that was really pretty meaningful based on feedback you got?
Yeah, the layout of Denver Flea is always an issue. It's dependent on the space, but understanding how to position things that will attract people throughout the space. So not just the brands, but where do you put bars? Where do you put sponsor activations? Mm-hmm. Where do you put a stage? Mm-hmm. And understanding how humans move about space and what you need to properly, essentially we're merchandising a warehouse with brands. So how do we adapt to what people want within a space to be able to get them through, so no dead space, no one's left out?
Well, and that's the thing too. I mean, no one wants to be the seller at the far corner where there's no traffic, right?
Right.
How do you so you've been able to learn how to put a bar there or how to do things so that you can drive traffic throughout?
Yeah, or maybe there's a photo booth. Like we had a horse trailer at the last Flea that was converted into a photo booth where people could step inside the horse trailer, get their photo taken with, you know, numerous crazy costumes. Hmm. So that had a huge line in front of it. We put that in the back corner. So they're you know, no bad booth spaces is our goal.
Well, yeah, and that's a good goal. Andy, what have you learned? Because you've been going to Denver Flea as a brand for a while, what have you learned to do differently to make you more successful while you're there?
What we've done in the past is we've kind of learned how to tweak our offerings while we're at these events. It started as just kind of throwing the whole lineup at everybody, and it's overwhelming, especially in a booth that can be 10 by 10 or 10 by 20 feet. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we're coming with as focused a line as possible. And for us, that changes seasonally based on what we've produced and what we have coming up for the next season. So really, it's been a learning experience over the past 3.5 years or so, just to kind of accommodate the crowd that we anticipate and essentially the crowd that we know will be returning.
Is that a scalable learning experience? Can you, does that translate to your website? Does it translate in other ways?
Definitely. We're pretty tight again as far as the products that we do offer. We're not looking to produce 40 fleeces. We want to make sure that we keep one that can get the job done in every situation you find yourself in Colorado. So really we keep our website as clean and manageable as possible, so that when people are coming and approaching our brand, like we can still kind of have a very succinct conversation with them and can direct them without actually having to hold their hand.
Yeah. Now it seems I'm going to wrap up this conversation, Blake, talking about this notion of mission. And I know you're in the business of creating venues for brands to grow in Colorado. Talk a little bit more about the mission of supporting Colorado companies as they grow and what that's meant for you and Denver Flea.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that we have such a tech presence here, and I've had the I guess, internal conversation and with others recently of what are we known for in Denver right now? And I think that we're writing that history. And 25 years from now, we'll look back and we'll say that Denver is an incredible tech hub. And I think we'll also say that Denver is a hotbed for consumer products. Hmm. And whether that's food or beer or other spirits, or it's other consumer products like clothing and food and soaps and so on. Mm-hmm. And so my passion is really that I want to be a part of that. And I want people to know nationally that Colorado is a place where incredible products are produced, where people who are passionate about those products are producing them. And so my drive to keep going is, how do we keep reaching new audiences? As Andy was saying, that it's amazing to find people that still don't know about Mountain Standard, and I feel that way about Denver Flea, but that's great because there's opportunity for growth. So how do we bring people into our network and keep the dollars in the state versus going elsewhere?
Very good, and I think that's a good note on which to end. I want to wrap up. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and today on ProCo 360, I've been speaking with Blake Adams of Denver Flea, joined by Andy Fleckenstein of Mountain Standard. And I appreciate you guys joining me today. Glad you were here.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Blake, one more time, where the next Denver Flea is going to be and how to get a ticket?
The next Denver Flea is at the Denver Rock Drill, and you can get a ticket at denverflea.com.
Yeah.
We'll be July 13th, 14th, and 15th.
Great. And the other way to get a ticket is to subscribe to the ProCo 360 newsletter, because for the next little period of time, if you do that, Blake's going to send you a free ticket. So thanks for that partnership. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
This is Dave Tabor. My mission is to feature world-class entrepreneurs who could be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. You can help by subscribing to the ProCo 360 podcast and reviewing the show. Thanks again to show sponsors, MicroStar Keg Logistics, Community Banks of Colorado and Jones and Keller, and to my producer, Luke Woodruff. Past shows are available at ProCo360.com and via your favorite podcast app. Just search ProCo 360. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sharing.